This is VSiN's Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Week 18, boys and girls. I'm Tim Murray from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Coming up in 15 minutes, Connor Allen. He will join us, give us his thoughts on Week 18, how he's going to be betting it, looking at some player props. Do we look into those player incentives, or have they been maybe juiced up too high? So we'll dive into that with Connor Allen. Always love getting his insight when it comes to player props and NFL betting. So Connor will join us here in 15 minutes. Matt Eumanns will join us at the bottom of the hour, and I'm sure he has been scouring the college basketball landscape, and we will dive into some of his best bets for the day for college or for the NFL. Talk some college football, college basketball as well. We've discussed a little college basketball here on the program, and just for you know, once the NFL season wraps up, this will become a very heavily discussed college basketball show like it was last year. And we sit back on Saturdays, are usually chock full of college basketball. A lot of interesting spots, if you will, today in the college basketball slate, but nothing too crazy. We do have a game starting in just a matter of moments. Will Wade and his NC State Wolfpack, you know, I got to put up the Wolfpack sign there. The Wolfpack, a 4.5-point favorite against UVA. That game about to tip off in Raleigh, North Carolina. NC State, the old unranked favorite against the ranked team in Virginia. The only one today, by the way, that fits that characteristic. As I mentioned, there are 11 ranked teams that are on the road against unranked conference foes today. And the only one that is an underdog would be Virginia. Tip off just moments away there against NC State. The one game that I have bet, and Jim Root didn't seem to agree with me, even though it didn't feel like he was necessarily all in on North Carolina. I did bet a little bit on SMU plus 1.5 against UNC. That game coming up later today. UNC coming in at number 12 in the country, and curious if Andy Enfield's squad can get the slight upset in there. But we'll talk more college basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour with Matt Eumanns, get his thoughts on what to expect today. Maybe get some early college football playoff semifinal thoughts. But today is a massive day when it comes to the NFL and playoff implications. The unique situation in the NFC South where you've got two teams that I think a lot of us are shoulder shrugging saying, I guess we have to have them in the playoffs. You've got a Tampa Bay team. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when we had discussions about Baker Mayfield winning the MVP earlier this season. They've dealt with injuries. They've fallen very much off so far as the season has gone on. They are 1-7 over their last 8 straight up. 8 straight non-covers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then on the flip side, you got Carolina, a team that has had some nice wins. They beat the Los Angeles Rams. They went on the road and beat the Green Bay Packers. They've got 8 wins this year as an underdog, tied for the most in Super Bowl era history. Bryce Young, he's the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, and he is trying to stay even keel heading into this spot in Week 18.
You're not going to like the answer, but it's really not any different. You know, again, good and bad come with sports. And I think that's the maturity you have to have at this level. Coaches challenge us with it. And you really have to take it to heart, good or bad. You feel like, you know, things went well or didn't. You have to flush it the same way. You have to have the same approach. So I've been trying to do that for a while now. So at this point, it's the same.
These two teams played 2 weeks ago, December 21st, the Sunday before Christmas. Carolina won at home as a 3-point underdog. Now they are on the road, and they are a 3-point underdog. And that's the question you have to ask yourself is this making mathematical sense? We do this a lot here. December 21st at Carolina, Tampa laid 3. Today, Tampa laying 3. And I haven't bet this yet. I'll be honest, I'm not racing to bet Tampa Bay here, but we see a bunch of spots that are at 3 even money right now. I know they're holding off and they don't want to go to 2.5. If this gets to 2.5, and I would imagine 2.5 is probably the point where you would see some of that pushback. But if it gets to 3.5, I'm going to be in on Tampa Bay. Probably going to hate myself, but that's just the way I'm going to look at it here, because the market seems maybe to have adjusted too much to what these last 2 weeks have been. That all being said, I would be backing a team that has failed to cover 8 consecutive games. We also have tonight the battle for the number one seed, the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Injuries abound there for San Francisco. George Kittle is expected to go. He said, quote, absolutely, when asked about will he play tonight with that ankle injury. Trent Williams, it's a big, we'll see, dealing with that hamstring injury. We know Bosa is out. Warner is out. This is a San Francisco team that has dealt with a ton of injuries. Defensively, it's not pretty right now for San Francisco. Offensively, though, Brock Purdy is playing exceptionally well. San Francisco, a slight home dog here against the Seattle Seahawks tonight. Winner gets the one seed. Loser is on the road in the first round of the playoffs. Kyle Shanahan on the importance of obtaining that number one seed.
One, it's nice to rest guys, you know, help guys recover and stuff, which is always good. But I think the simplest way to say it is, I mean, everyone's goal is to win a Super Bowl. And in order to do that, I would say it's easier to win 3 games than 4 games. You'd always rather play at home, no doubt about it. I think in football, out of all sports, home field advantage is the biggest advantage, because I think crowd noise truly affects the game in terms of pass rush and things like that. But the main thing is just, it's one less game. And I'd love to be home. That's our goal. If that doesn't work out, we're excited to go on the road, too.
Love to be the one seed? Hey, but we would be excited to go on the road as well. This from ESPN Insights. If the 49ers win tonight, it'll be the first time since seeding began in 1975 that a team earned the one seed in a postseason where the Super Bowl was at their home stadium. So they're at home tonight. If they win tonight, never have to leave the Bay Area. Their season will either end or they'll be playing in the Super Bowl in the Bay Area. 2.5-point favorites are the Seattle Seahawks when these two teams were a little bit healthier. Funny, isn't it funny how this all plays out? We talk about Carolina and Tampa. They played 2 weeks ago. Seattle and San Francisco played in week one. They opened up the season against each other in Seattle. San Francisco won that game 17-13. San Francisco was a 2.5-point favorite, and now here we are in week 18. Seattle, a road 2.5-point favorite. Total sits at 47.5. A little bit of movement towards the under, and we've seen Seattle take some money as they sit at 2.5. Certainly, if you do like teasers, intriguing teaser option, even though the total kind of high for teasers, especially when you look around for week 18, a lot of low numbers on the board. Another low number on the board, Sunday Night Football. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Right now, Pittsburgh, a 3.5 or 4-point favorite in this one. And Pittsburgh trying to have that opportunity to get into the playoffs as the AFC North champion. Mike Tomlin preparing for another battle against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
I think there's certainly some things that are exclusive to Lamar, and that's not taking anything away from Hundley. It's just certain things that are Lamar and no other human on the planet. But largely, I think they play to a certain personality regardless of who's at quarterback, and I think that was on display a week ago. I think they're experienced in playing with Hundley. They know how to play with him schematically, and certainly he knows how to play and has logged some significant reps over his years there. One year, I think he was even a Pro Bowler when Lamar missed a significant amount of time. And so, although it is a potentially a backup quarterback circumstance, I think it's some real fluidity there from their perspective. And to be quite honest with you, when things get thick, they play a certain way, regardless of who's playing quarterback. And usually the ball is going to go through the big runner. And that's what we expect.
Ball's going to go through the big runner. Well, it did last week against Green Bay. 36 carries for 216 yards and 4 touchdowns. Anyone who had Derrick Henry in their fantasy football championship was pretty happy that the big runner, as Mike Tomlin calls him, got the rock quite a bit. And will that be the case coming up on Sunday night? How often will they go to Derrick Henry in that spot? And when you look at, you know, some of his rushing numbers for this game, for him to rush for 100 plus yards is currently plus 115. So can Pittsburgh, TJ Watt is expected back after missing three games with that partially collapsed lung. So he will be back. How about TJ Watt with him in the lineup? The Steelers are 86-50-2 without him, 3-12. Now it is worth noting in the three games they missed, they went 2-1 this year. To me, I would be looking so much more at Pittsburgh if DK Metcalf were not suspended for this game. Probably still would look Pittsburgh because the numbers that we've continued to tell you about regarding Pittsburgh and anyone really in this role as the underdog in this rivalry, the numbers are just eye-popping. Since 2005, the underdog in this series is 30-12-3 against the spread, and in the regular season, 25-7-3. ATS in this rivalry going back to 2005. Hey folks, we talk about it all the time about making smart bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at vsin.com/advertise or email us advertising@vsin.com. We keep it rolling here. It is the VSiN Tailgate Show. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It is going to be a very fun weekend here at the Circus Sportsbook as Circus Survivor will be decided. Only 6 entries left. Circa Millions comes down to the final week. It's always a crazy final Sunday. The range of emotions, the popping of champagne, and hopefully our next guest will be popping some champagne, as we've talked a lot about sides, totals, trends, all of that, but I haven't really jumped into the player props for today and tomorrow. And no one better to help us than Connor Allen at Connor Allen NFL. You can check him out for football. Always love getting his insight. And he joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Connor, let's go to the first game of the weekend. We've got the Panthers taking on the Buccaneers, and I've exhausted everybody telling him, hey, you know, Tampa has failed to cover 8 straight games. But that all being said, maybe the market's moved too much. All right, enough of that. Let's dive into a player prop. Chuba Hubbard for the Carolina Panthers. What is jumping out to you about him from a prop standpoint this afternoon?
Yeah, I kind of think that we're going to see a little bit more Chuba Hubbard in this week and then less Rico Dowdle. So I think you play it one of two ways. You either play Rico Dowdle's rushing under at 54.5, or you play Chuba Hubbard's rushing over. Part of this was Dave Canales this week was talking up Chuba big time, saying, I love Chuba, going to give him the ball some more, find ways for him to impact the game. Guy that I really trust. Dowdle came into the week with a toe injury, hasn't eclipsed a 52% carry share, and hasn't cleared 60 rushing yards in the last 8 games. I do think that they might pass a little bit more in this game, but I like that inverse there, and you could even parlay it, I think, for some kind of, you know, correlated look there as well, if you like.
All right, so looking at Chuba Hubbard for this game, you know, Lamar Jackson, there's been a lot of criticism regarding Lamar. You know, there's reports that he was, you know, sleeping in a meeting. He quickly dispelled that yesterday. So, or we get Lamar Jackson, he's back. We get this massive game, win or go home on Sunday Night Football. What angles are you looking at from a Lamar standpoint when it comes to props?
Yeah, I love Lamar's rushing over this week, which is probably contrarian, but this is maybe the lowest number I've ever seen with Lamar. We're looking at 27.5 rushing yards right now, widely available. He hasn't been running much because he's obviously been dinged up throughout the season, variety of injuries. They asked Todd Monken in a presser this week, and Monken basically said Lamar Jackson will have his full complement this week, and he's been full in practice for the first time in a while, obviously sat out last week. He had 43 yards on 7 carries last time against the Steelers, and we're looking at a spot here where he could easily get this on scrambles, 27 yards, 28 yards. if they do any designed runs, I mean, we're looking at probably 40, 50 yards here if he's even remotely healthy. So I think in a must-win game, obviously for them to make the playoffs, and in a spot where, you know, the coaching staff saying he's healthy, he had a week off, I think we're going to see a lot of Lamar rushing here. His normal line last season was like low 50s, mid 50s. And, you know, even earlier this year, it's like high 30s, low 40s. So I think this is a massive discount, and I'm not really sure why.
Lamar Jackson, as Connor mentioned, 27.5 right now at DraftKings, and yeah, market wide in that range. So if he is 100% healthy, which is what he says he is, certainly feels like in a winner go home situation, maybe an opportunity to bet that over. You know, a lot of discussion regarding NFL MVP. Did Matthew Stafford squander his opportunity on Monday night against the Atlanta Falcons? We have Drake May in action on Sunday afternoon against the Miami Dolphins. New England trying to fight with Denver for that number one spot. If Denver wins their game on Sunday, they get the number one. But obviously, Drake May going for the NFL MVP. What angle are we looking at here for Drake May in this spot against the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, it's pretty juicy, but I like the under half an interception here. Find this anywhere from minus 140, minus 150, even minus 160 in some spots. But New England, massive favorite here. I'm not convinced that Drake May is going to play the entire game. I can see them playing maybe half a game, and you're getting just like a terrible, terrible secondary. Last time they played Miami in week two, Drake May went 19 for 23, had zero turnover worthy plays. I think that they're probably just going to run the ball most of the time and maybe give him some chances to throw a couple touchdowns here or there. But I really like this look. I just don't think that he puts very many balls at harm here in this spot where a game that they should control pretty easily.
Connor Allen joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, 4 for Football. Connor Allen NFL is where you can find him on Twitter, dumping through some of the prop looks for week 18. Let's go to the Los Angeles Chargers as they are on the road, as mentioned, against the Denver Broncos. It is pretty wild to know the Denver Broncos, by the way, 2-9 against the spread this year in the favorite role, which is just wild. But they're a massive favorite, 13.5 point favorite. And a big reason why, no Justin Herbert. It will be Trey Lance getting the start here for the Chargers. What do you make of Trey Lance here with a total of 37.5 on the road at Mile High?
Yeah, I like the under on Trey Lance's passing yards here. I think the best number I'm seeing in market is maybe 170.5 at this point. 167 is pretty widely available. Otherwise, I think that's good luck too. I mean, Denver is held a bunch of other, I would say, lower tier to bad quarterbacks. So really low numbers here. We're looking at 112 yards to Cam Ward, 45 yards to Justin Fields. Davis Mills only had 137, Geno 143. And then last week, Chris Oludokun, 66 yards. So like, I would squarely put Trey Lance in that bucket there. And I think that we're looking at a spot where they probably just try and run the ball. Like, I think Greg Roman probably tries to leverage his legs and make him run a little bit more. And then both sides here, I think the Broncos are obviously playing for seeding, so they're going to be full on here. So I don't really see Lance doing much. And really garbage time is the only scenario I'm envisioning where could really get in trouble here.
Follow Connor on Twitter at Connor Allen NFL. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't know how long ago it was when people were able to dive into these player incentives. It became such a great angle to look at. Now, books have adjusted, unfortunately for us. They've juiced things up. So what are some of the incentives that jump out to you that are obtainable from a betting standpoint here in week 18?
Yeah, I think there's a couple that are one of that's really interesting to me is Ashton Gentry's rushing stuff. So he needs 112 yards for a 1,000-yard season. Pete Carroll, the Raiders head coach, has said, we'd love to get him to 120 yards, whatever he needs. It'd be fun to get that one done. And then the offensive coordinator, Greg Olson, mentioned it as well. So we're looking at his lines like in the high 70s, depending on where you look. It's not super widely available, but I kind of like playing the alt angle. So you can play like an alt over 110, and that's like 2.5 to 1, 3 to 1, depending on where you look. And so I think that's kind of a fun way to gain leverage here if they do just feed Genty the entire game. So I think that's a fun one. There's also the rushing title race between James Cook and Jonathan Taylor. Both coaches have been made, are like very aware and have mentioned it this week about how cool it would be to get their players that the title here. Jonathan Taylor plays first. And so I think if Jonathan Taylor gets a narrow lead, I could see Buffalo letting Cook play enough to get it and then pull him. So I don't know. The books are in a really tough position if they do post this kind of stuff and see like how to react, because if they post too high of a number for Cook, or like a full game number for Cook, and you know he's only up by a little bit, I think an under could be a really interesting look there for Cook. And then vice versa, if you know they post a super low line and he needs a little bit more just from Taylor, I think an over could be an interesting look there. So lots of different ways to play something like that, and things that I don't see as many people talking about, you know, in the Twitter sphere there, because I think most of the incentives are right now at this point, you know, I mean, books have sections for incentives, you right. know, like it's like they label it like that. So if they know it, you know, I don't think it's quite as useful for bettors.
Yeah, no, it's, you wrote it up there, I know, on your Twitter, looking at a couple of the spots and some of the players. But yeah, when books are mentioning incentives on different tabs, you know it's not, yeah. We're not pulling the wool over their eyes. Of the ones that you noted there on social media, we've got the passing title race, we've got all these other ones. Any of them you do think that still, maybe based off of the juice that is out there, still work to squeeze a little bit?
Yeah, it'd probably be the Genty one's probably yeah. my favorite. The Russian title one, I think, is up in the air. The passing title one is super interesting too, because you have the Rams consistently saying that they're going to play their starters. How long are they going to play them for? Some books are already posting Stafford and Puka like full game lines, basically. I don't fully agree with that. I mean, McVay's never played for seeding ever. So, and the Niners could essentially lock up the five seed tonight if they win. So I would be really surprised here if McVay plays for seeding, to be honest. So I don't know. Like I think that's an interesting one there too. Maybe they let also the Cowboys here without their top two running backs. They seem to not like Jaden Blue at all. I wouldn't be surprised to see them just let Dak Prescott rip it. For, you know, 2-3 quarters and like kind of pad his stats there to lock that up, because they've talked about how he would be the first quarterback in Cowboys history to ever lead the league in passing yards in a single season. So I think there's still stuff not even posted. And so I hate to give a cop out of like, this is the exact bet you should make, but, you know, stay on your toes and see what comes up over the next day or so. Cause I think there's gonna be a lot of good stuff to bet on.
Connor, great stuff as always, man. Always appreciate your insight. Best of luck here on week 18.
Thanks. Appreciate having me on.
There he is. Connor Allen at Connor Allen NFL. Follow him there on social media. I do want to give a quick update. They're at a under 12 media timeout. Virginia, a 4-point lead against NC State. I took NC State in game -110 at Stations Casino. They're just not making shots right now, but I like the energy I'm seeing from Will Wade's squad. I think they come back and win the game. We keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. College basketball already underway as Virginia was a road dog against NC State this morning. Closed around 4.5-point dog, and right now they have a 6-point lead halfway through the first half. I did take a little bit of NC State in game when it was -110 for the Wolfpack. So I have NC State essentially at a pick right now, but they trail by 6 with 9:46 to go in the first half. I know a gentleman who's going to be spending most of his day watching college basketball, but we have 2 NFL games. My partner in crime on VSiN Primetime, as well as the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt Eumanns joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And Matt, I want to jump right to a little NFL action tomorrow night. Steelers and Ravens. We've spent a lot of time on the show talking about this game, the historical precedent of the underdog in this spot. So you are a guy who likes to bet a lot of underdogs. Steelers catching 3.5, 4 tomorrow night. Is this a spot you're looking to back Mike Tomlin and the Steelers?
Tim, I believe this is the first time we've talked NFL on your show this season. Is that right?
Well, it was a college football tailgate show. And unfortunately, we don't have any more Saturday college football games, Matt.
Times are changing, no doubt about it. And, game number 272 of the regular season. I know this is a pedestrian Pittsburgh team, no doubt about it. Actually, if you look for the season, I believe the Steelers have been outgained by about 900 yards this season, which is very surprising for a team that's got a 9-7 record. But it's ugly with this team a lot of times, and it could be the case in this game as well. The Pittsburgh run defense is going to have to step up big time. Derrick Henry was unstoppable last week against Green Bay, 216 yards and 4 touchdowns. And this is a Steelers run defense They got pounded on the ground by the Bills on November 30th, 249 yards. But Derek Carmen, rookie defensive lineman from Oregon, is going to play. T.J. Watt's back. So I think that's obviously going to be a boost for the defense. Aaron Rodgers can't play any worse than he did a week ago at Cleveland. That might be the worst game I've seen him play in his career. D.K. Metcalf was out, obviously, with the suspension. Metcalf had 148 yards receiving the first time these teams played. That was, week 14, I believe, in Baltimore. Steelers won that game 27-22. I know Lamar Jackson's back, and a lot of people think that's going to be a big deal. If Jackson plays like he did early in the season, maybe. But the Ravens are 6-6 in his 12 starts. He's averaging a career-low 28 yards rushing per game. He has been pretty ineffective as a passer. And it comes down to this trend. When these teams play, mostly you get close games. Steelers are 7-2 straight up against Baltimore in the past nine. And in regular season meetings between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, underdog is 25-7-3 ATS. I went ahead and took the four with the Steelers last night.
Matt Newman's joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, breaking down week 18 of the NFL season. He's got a couple of plays that he put in to the VSiN picks page already. One more game, and I know the numbers move from where you bet it. We've got Chicago at home against Detroit tomorrow. A lot of seeding on the line late in the afternoon tomorrow. Right now, Chicago up to around a 3-point favorite against the Detroit Lions.
And the Bears can be the number two seed in the NFC with a win or an Eagles loss. Now, this number opened 1.5 at DraftKings. I didn't get it. That's a fishy line, Tim. And a lot of times when you smell a fishy line, you just want to stay away from the game. I can't resist betting the Bears here. I just have a hard time making an argument for the Lions. They've lost 3 in a row and 4 of 5. They had something to play for last week in Minnesota. Jared Goff committed 5 turnovers and was sacked 5 times in that loss to the Vikings, who had Max Brosmer at quarterback. Bears are 7-2 in their last 9.
Oh, did we lose Matt? All right, we will try to reconnect with Matt Humans. By the way, quick update from the lone college basketball game. Early start time, 11 a.m. start. Looks like one team had their Wheaties this morning and one team did not. I mentioned I took NC State when they were down 15-11 heading into the under 12 media timeout. Well, that number is now better if you want to back the Wolfpack. 23-13. We'll get to college football or college basketball here in just a moment as Matt Humans rejoins us. But Matt, to sum up your thoughts on why ultimately you bet at the Bears.
Revenge game here for Ben Johnson too. Bears got their butts beat 52-21 in Detroit in week 2. And I'm sure Ben Johnson wants a settled score for that. Talking about Jared Goff's turnovers too. The Chicago defense leads the league with 32 takeaways. I can find a lot of reasons here to bet the Bears. I can't find many to play the Lions. I did bet the Bears as 2.5-point favorites. I'd still play it at 3. I don't get that line. I don't know why it opened at 1.5. Maybe I'll find out the hard way tomorrow, but I'm still playing the Bears.
Matt Humans joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. You know, Matt, I was talking about it earlier in the show regarding today's basketball schedule, college basketball slate. It's not the sexiest, but it could lead to some chaos. You've got 11 ranked teams going on the road against unranked teams. And one of those teams is a team that you know very well, the Purdue Boilermakers, top 5 team right now, laying 6.5 on the road at Wisconsin. Are you looking at the home Badgers catching some points here?
Let me tell you something. A lot of times it's tempting for bettors to lay the points on the road when you've got top 10 teams or top 20 teams on the road. And it looks like they're laying a manageable number. Tim, look, last night, Louisville was on the road at Stanford. And this is a bad Stanford team, right? This is a really bad Stanford team. And Stanford beat Louisville last night. Don't fall for it. More often than not, playing the road favorites, especially in conference play, is going to be a losing proposition. It's interesting today. You've got Arizona on the road at Utah. Arizona laying 18.5. Illinois on the road to Penn State, laying 16.5. I'm tempted to play the dogs in those games. I have not done it yet. But I am going to play Wisconsin here as a 6.5-point home dog to Purdue. I made this number 4.5. And, you know, the Badgers are inconsistent. And that's one of the problems here with this bet is you don't know which Wisconsin team you're going to get. The Badgers went on the road to Nebraska, lost by 30. That was on December 10th. They went to Salt Lake City, got blown out by BYU by 28. They've also played well at times, too. And they've got a couple of veteran guards in Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. And I actually think this Wisconsin team's capable of pulling the upset today. Purdue has not been tested in true road games very often, aside from that win in Alabama. I think this is going to be the type of game that goes to the wire. Like you said, when I make a number 4.5 and that 6.5 in the market, I'll go ahead and take the 2 points if I like that side. So I do like that side with the Badgers.
Man, I know you love to bet late night games. We talk about it all throughout the college football season. Mountain West games, last game on the board. Hell, we do a segment on the show called You Up, right? So we've got a late night game, the last game on the rotation, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and it will be at a arena that you know well, San Diego State, Viejas. They will be hosting Boise State right now. Market sits around 4.5, so we've seen some love come in on the Aztecs.
It's interesting. I bet this last night at minus 3/120, and I didn't really think the number was going to get bet up, but I thought that price was a little bit cheap. B.J. Davis, guard for the Aztecs, has been playing really well, 12 points per game, 51% from three, and this San Diego State team shooting 39.7% from three. They have been blown out in games against Michigan, Baylor, and Arizona. This team was a preseason pick to win the Mountain West Conference. It's been a little bit disappointing. But I think Boise's been more disappointing. Tim, you recall well when the Broncos lost to Hawaii Pacific in early November. On December 20th, I bet Nevada as a home dog to Boise. Nevada was without two of its top players that night and beat Boise 81-66 in Reno. Broncos did bounce back to beat New Mexico on Tuesday. But I like the Aztecs at home. Laying a low number here. This is the type of game that Brian Dutcher almost always wins. And I just don't think this Boise team's that good. So Aztecs, like you said, the number's been bet up a little bit in the market. But I do like San Diego State tonight.
Matt, before I let you run another game in the Mountain West, we got about 45 seconds. UNLV taking on Air Force. We've got a total of 141.5 in this one.
What? I was going to say, you know what? It's odd because I'm betting these games overnight.
Yeah.
And I turned my computer off at 6:30 this morning. I just took a nap for 90 minutes, and I wake up and these numbers are moving in the market. Air Force, UNLV, I bet under 144.5 just a couple of hours ago. And Air Force's past three games landed on 124, 139, and 117. They were on the Princeton offense. They're going to slow it down. I've heard from a good source, the UNLV's had a cold and flu running through the team this week. I don't know to what extent, you know, who's sick or how bad it is, but I think this is probably going to be a low-scoring game.
We'll wrap things up when we come back. Matt, always appreciate your insight, man. Best of luck today.
Okay, you bet. Thanks.
There he is, Matt Eumanns, of course. Catch him, VSiN Primetime with me every weeknight and the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Boy, was the market wrong on UVA NC State. So it seems. Coming up top of the hour, Live Bet Saturday, Ben Stevens and Dustin Sweetelson will have you covered on what will be a busy day of college basketball. It's already begun an 11 a.m. start time. Apparently, NC State didn't know it started at 11 a.m. because they are getting smoked right now. NC State, of the 11 unranked teams that were hosting ranked teams today in college basketball, the only one that went off or that is a favorite. They are not playing like a favorite right now. It is all Virginia right now, 30-14. I mentioned I took a little in-game on NC State. That one has aged poorly. It is a 33-14. Taking a look inside the box score, you know, our friends over at Shot Quality do this often. I got to imagine the Shot Quality score, box score is way off right now because Virginia is 7 of 16 from 3, and NC State is 1 of 7. Now, you got to find the right time, and that's the unique challenge of what Dustin and Ben will do coming up top of the hour and what Matt and I do on primetime is try to find the time to bet a game in-game. I think NC State is the side in-game. I thought getting them at minus 110 on the money line when they were down 15-11 was the spot. Maybe it's now. I don't know. But I do think NC State is going to have a run at some point in them. Virginia's probably going to cool off a little bit. But, man, right now it's hard to tell. As I'm looking at the live board, is going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right now. I think it's at 9.5 or so. So maybe NC State now? I don't know. It's hard to tell. You don't want to get yourself too big into a hole, right? Already bet what seemed to be a bad number on them on the money line. Do you get back in involved? Now it's double digits. But NC State and Virginia, we're just back in the thick of it. The madness that is college basketball. A couple plays from Matt Eumanns. I would say the one that he, at least based off of where we're at from the market standpoint right now, is the most comfortable would be Wisconsin catching the points against Purdue at home. So a home dog situation there. 3 minutes to go in the first half, Virginia and NC State. It is a 33-18 lead for Virginia. If you haven't gotten involved yet, once again, probably will look NC State, but they just keep canning threes. So at some point you think they probably cool off. All right. We do have week 18 of the NFL season, of course, starting today. We've got Carolina and Tampa Bay. As we look at the betting market on that particular game, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a 3-point favorite. It's unbelievable to think about how this team has just fallen off and still has a shot of making the playoffs. Now, the unique circumstance with the Atlanta Falcons winning on Monday night against the Los Angeles Rams threw a new wrinkle into this situation. Tampa Bay laying 3 at home. It is a juice 3 towards Carolina. So if you want the 3 with Carolina, you got to lay minus 15, minus 20, depending on where you look. I'd be more interested in Tampa Bay here, even though this is a team that's won in their last one, has won 7 over the last 8, 0-8 against the spread in those 8 straight games. I just think this is an overreaction from a market standpoint. Where were we week 16? Where are we now in this game? Week 16, Tampa Bay laid 3 at Carolina. Week 18, they're laying 3 at home. So this isn't week 1 versus week 18 like we have in Seattle and San Francisco. Week 1, we had Seattle catching 2.5 at home against San Francisco. And now in week 18, we have Seattle laying 2.5. Well, a lot has changed as we have no Fred Warner. We have no Bosa, right? Trent Williams is questionable for this game. How healthy is George Kittle going to be after missing last week with the ankle injury? Speaking of George Kittle, he has played a fair share of games against the Seattle Seahawks, and he embraces the rivalry there in the NFC West.
Winning on Thanksgiving was pretty fun there. Running off the field with a full turkey thrown into the crowd was pretty entertaining. My very first game ever there, we lost, but I played against Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman, which is pretty sick, and Earl Thomas. And Cam Chancellor had hit an opportunity to rip my head off, and he didn't do it, so I was pretty thankful. I've had a lot of good memories there. I love Seattle's like one of my favorite stadiums because they hate us, and it's always like twice as loud as any other stadium I ever play in. So it's such a great atmosphere, and I love their hatred for us. And hopefully the faith will bring it this weekend for them.
Can't wait to watch this one tonight. It's always a fun one. 49ers, Seahawks, winner gets the 1 seed. Loser has to go on the road for most of, if not all of, their postseason runs. Just a reminder before the line moves, folks, the sharp plays are already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. The NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Since 2011, the folks over at Sharp Plays have backed up all their plays with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the lines this postseason. Visit SharpPlays.com. So we've got a fair share of NFL to break down here all throughout the day. Stay tuned later on. in the day here on VSiN when Derek Stevens and Jeffrey Benson jump on VSiN to let you know who the selections were for Circa Survivor. We are down to just six selections to go in the contest. The implied value on each entry right now is $3.1 million. The largest legal sports competition, contest, I should say, in history. And it comes down to this weekend. And right now at Circa Sports, you can see the breakdown for the availability for those six remaining entries. $3.1 million is the implied value of each one of those entries. As the week goes on, we will continue to prepare you for the college football playoff semifinals. On Thursday night, we get Miami versus Ole Miss. That is the Fiesta Bowl. Friday night, we get Oregon and Indiana, a rematch of a game we got up in Autzen when Oregon went off as around a touchdown favorite. Indiana went to Autzen Stadium, and I know at one point the game was tied 20-20. Indiana was the better team in that game, but Dan Lanning's squad, coming off of a very impressive defensive performance against Texas Tech. Here were his thoughts post-game as they turned their attentions to Indiana following that 23-0 win over Texas Tech.
Unbelievable game, a lot of fun. We've talked to our guys about being battle-tested all year and having to win in different ways. You know, that game went back and forth in a lot of ways. You know, struggled at times to go score points, and our defense did an unbelievable job getting the ball back, and then our offense showed up when it mattered most there at the end of the game. I think we out-physicaled our opponent at the end, but a lot of respect for Coach McGuire and the team that he's had. They shouldn't discredit him. I remember this feeling last year, right? When you have a really good team, you play really good football all year, and then it comes to an end, and that's the way it is for every team but one. You know, certainly grateful for our fans and excited to see them show up in Atlanta, but proud of our players, the resiliency that they showed, their ability to stay calm and poised and collected under pressure. It's not easy in big moments, but these guys have shown and proven time after time, these two guys up here, that team in that locker room have shown time and time again that they're ready for big moments.
October 11th, Autzen Stadium, Oregon laid seven, was laying seven in a loss against Indiana. Indiana now laying four and a half, depending on where you look. I did bet this game. I took under 47.5, still available out there. I think Indiana, the way they play defensively, they don't get fooled. They are so fundamentally sound. But I look at Oregon, man, and that defense, granted, Texas Tech, not the same offense that we're going to see from Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman winner. But to me, I think this is a absolute war at the Peach Bowl on Friday night. So right now, of the two games that I have bet, I have taken the under in Oregon and Indiana, under 47.5, still available, DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM as well. So that is a best bet for me. Much more on the two semifinals, courtesy of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube as well. We'll have multiple episodes for you this week, including the thoughts from Hoosier Wes, Wes Reynolds, his thoughts on his beloved Indiana Hoosiers. It is crazy. I will continue to say it. Greatest turnaround in sports history, what Kirk Cignetti has done with that Indiana program. Two losses in 2 years, and they were against the two teams that played for the national championship a year ago. Miami and Ole Miss is going to be amazing, too. And earlier on the show, we played a clip of our buddy Chris the Bear Felica. He has played under Ole Miss and Miami 51.5 in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Hey, folks, start your new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Live Bet Saturday is coming up next with Ben Stevens and Dustin Sweetelson. I'll be back on Monday with VSiN Primetime. I'm Tim Murray. Have a great weekend. This has been the VSiN Tailgate Show.